Good afternoon. Apologize for being a minute late or so. I was held up in a meeting with somebody. Oh, that was you. Councilmember Richens, and I lost track of time. Councilmember Summers, you on the phone?
I am.
Good. We have Councilmember Scott Summers on the phone with us. And so we'll begin. And just FYI, we're implementing a new system, which is really exciting because it's more electronically based and will offer a lot of efficiencies and the ability to do things on the computer. And it shakes up the order of what we're doing in the study session just a little bit. So as we go through, if you see things that aren't normal in our order, you'll know why. But the first thing on the agenda is to review the meeting, review the agenda for roll call. Everyone who's here, say here.
Here.
Here. Okay.
Well, you're not here, Summers, and you said here. Say there.
There.
All right, there. So there is here.
I'm there in a here kind of way.
Okay. We'll review tonight's agenda. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. And page 6. Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, I just want to mention item 6A that is off consent to the fact that I wanted to talk about it. And what I wanted to highlight is the reason I am not supporting this is a couple things. One, they're asking for a clear view on one side. They have a 5 and a 10-foot setback, side setbacks, and they want clear. Is it called a clear view, John? What's clear way on the 10-foot side so that their air conditioning can go on their 10-foot side instead of their 5-foot side due to the fact that they say they can't fit it on the 5-foot side because of drainage. However, 2 years ago, or actually 4, because this was before Councilmember Summers' term in office, so about 4 years ago, when they came through, I mean, they asked for that 5-foot side, and they got the reduction to 5-foot, you know, in this big PAD thing, which to me, at that point in time, you would know whether you could fit an air conditioning unit on that side, and you should have known then that you're going to have an issue. So this is one of these where it's like, to me, it's like, you know, come through with this package and then come back with a revision of this package and this package and this package. So if you had come through in the beginning, it probably wouldn't have all gone through that way. So it's like taking in, what's that saying? No one wants to help me out with the saying inch for a mile or whatever, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yeah, and it's just like, I wish that, I mean, you got to know that the air conditioning is not going to fit on your 5-foot side. This is a big home builder. This isn't my husband and I coming through a variance and, oh, darn, we don't know that that wouldn't fit. So, you know, they would have known that up front. So they're coming back now to say, you know, we want more. And they got a lot in the first time around. I mean, they're budding up to 1-acre lots all the way around, and it's a pretty high-density subdivision. So I'm not inclined to give any more. So that's why I had it off consent, and will not be supporting that. But just so that you had a, you know, I think you guys were out of town last week, so weren't in the discussion. Thank you.
Councilman Fender.
For Mr. Wesley, is there any compromise that can be found as far as that 10-foot side yard with a little bit of intrusion, usually 8-foot for, you know, trailers or kind of backhoes, things like that? Any work in that area that can be done?
Mayor, Councilmember Fenter, the ordinance standard is on that 10-foot side yard is that it remain free and clear of encroachments such as air conditioner units and so forth. You can get a little bit of encroachment in there and still get many types of vehicles passed. That's what the developer is saying here, that allow them to have the air conditioning units. They could still be able to get back for maintenance in the backyard, get bobcats in there if somebody's wanting to do a pool or that kind of thing. But they have looked at it with their designs. And I think they'll be here for the meeting tonight if you want to wait and actually hear from
them. Well, it appears to me that what we're saying, because I think we're talking about fitting things back there, but really what they're saying is that they don't anticipate that there would ever be any room to park anything back there unless it was like a small tent trailer or something like that. This is designed to eliminate the possibility that you would have that side yard parking.
If they did go less than the 10 on that one side, they're setting up so it gives the option for any individual owner, and they anticipate, they say, for most of them to go with the 5 and 10s, but if an individual wants to move the house a little bit more centered, that they'd have that opportunity.
Well, I thought drainage was an issue.
Yeah, John, that's off the table there. That's not in this. I hate to, I'm sorry, Mayor, excuse me, for jumping in.
That's okay.
That's what I got. The information in the email was that they're no longer asking for that. They're going to go with 5 and 10. Their only issue is the clear view on the 10-foot side. They're no longer requesting what a split 15 feet or whatever. So it's just the issue of the clear view on the 10-foot side. Thank you.
I'm trying to figure out.
So, Mayor, their project narrative asked to be able to encroach into that 10-foot side yard with air conditioning units.
Okay.
And
why do we have a problem with that? Just so you can explain it to me.
Well, it's a typical ordinance standard that's been set up to allow for RV parking and access to a rear yard. We have allowed the same modification in several other subdivisions in the city, and staff has recommended.
And that's what I'm saying. Well, the code is set up not for any safety reasons or whatever. The code or the subdivision standards, whatever you want to say, has been set up so that you would have tier 10 feet so you could park something back there. By allowing them to put air conditioning into that 10 foot, basically we're saying that you have decided you're not going to park anything back there.
Correct.
And that's a decision that you make. It doesn't affect health and safety,
correct,
fire access, anything else, right?
Correct.
Does create a 5-foot dead zone on the other side. And don't know why people would do that, because, but that's what they're doing. Now, can they put a 5-foot? Have we changed the rules about them putting a air conditioning unit on the 5-foot side?
No,
they can still put it there, right?
Right.
They want to have the flexibility in case they say they have drainage issues, where they have to have drain from the backyard to the front yard, and if they're forced to put it there, then they can't adequately drain,
right?
Because you can't have the air conditioning pad and put drainage in there in that 5-foot space, and yet they'll have this big old long 10-foot that is open, and sure you can park RV, but that means that they've lost out the opportunity to drain out of the backyard. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, Mayor.
Is that what you've heard?
Yes.
Yes, that is what you've heard.
Yes, that is what
okay.
I've heard.
All right. And your issue is on the 10-foot clear view is what?
Well, I mean, if you want to what you just said, we could go back and say what they had originally asked for was to split the 15, right, to go 6 and 9 or 7 and 8. Is that 15? Yes.
Which still precludes parking.
Correct. So if we're okay with precluding parking, then we should let them do whatever they want, you know, which was their original thing. But the whole thing was we had gone through a lot of discussions on the ability for a neighborhood to, like, have that carrying capacity to put something back there might enhance the neighborhood, get a different kind of neighborhood mix. You'd get Councilmember Richens moving in with his boat because now he can park it on the side.
But if that happened, if I could play a little devil's advocate
sure,
here,
play away.
Then couldn't Councilmember Richens choose at the time of buying the house, I want the 10-foot, I'll only buy the house if I have a 10-foot, so
yes.
Figure out a way to make.
Yes.
And if the drainage didn't work on that lot, they'll move into another lot?
Yes. It's the recycling of the lot. It's that neighborhood 20
years
from now.
Okay.
And are we going to have a whole, I don't know. Well, you know, the lots aren't that small that they could actually store something on their side yard. So are we setting up a neighborhood that's going to not have people with toys, you know? This is a big stretch of the imagination, but I'm just going there.
Which is your prerogative, yeah.
That's right.
You may do that. Councilman Fenter.
Well, I was just thinking, trying to put a practical application to it. I don't know the depth of the lot, but, you know, if the air conditioning unit's located towards the rear corner and you have some depth to be able to park your boat or, you know, I'm thinking back to this utility trailer that I have that's 8-foot wide. You know, you need enough room to walk by it, but if that unit's, maybe there's a little bit of strategy of where the unit's located at that still allows a parking, but a pass by, you know, there's just probably some opportunities there.
I will throw in some of my past experience. Where you put an air conditioning unit is based on dead space in the house. You don't want an air conditioning unit next to a family room, a living space. You want it next to a bathroom, a kitchen, things like that, because it sort of makes a lot of noise. So, okay. All right. Well, that's off consent then, and we'll leave it there. Anything else? Okay. Next item on the agenda is to, and here's where the difference is. Here reports on meetings and conferences attended. Vice Mayor.
I just want to say a big thank you to those who came out and participated in our pancake breakfast Saturday. It was a nice event, and a special thank you to Miranda, my assistant, and all the staff members who, who came out, and to the firefighters who did the cooking. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Richens.
Last weekend, I had the opportunity to attend our National League of Cities Community and Economic Development Steering Committee meeting in Frisco, Texas. It was a really interesting meeting. We get to go to all these exotic locations. That's what's so exciting about the National League of Cities. But it's a really interesting committee to serve on, talk a lot about housing and economic development, and the economy was the major focus of this meeting. And it was it's a really good dialogue between the council members. Talked a lot about reutilizing aging commercial centers and what are some of the options and ways to do that. So it was very informative.
Good. Councilmember Fenter.
Wanted to mention, I know the mayor won't do this, early in the morning, I get up 4:30 in the morning, watch the stock market, CNBC, and one of my favorite things to do. And here, and next up, Mayor Smith from Mesa, Arizona. He represented us greatly at a wonderful look for City of Mesa and everything, and he represented all the mayors from the U.S. in that discussion, so did a fine job, and I was impressed.
Oh, thank you. And no, I was not up at 5 like he was. I was in Washington, D.C., which meant I was up at 8. And the interesting thing was is that I put on more makeup, or they put on more makeup for me than, as a matter of fact, it took longer to put the makeup on than my segment lasted. So thank you. I appreciate that. That was very nice of you. I've been on one other thing. I was on C-SPAN one time at 7:30 in the morning in Washington, D.C., and it was a call-in show. And it almost messed me up on the first question because the first call was from Las Vegas. And I'm sitting there, and it's 7:30 in the morning in D.C., and all I could think of was, it's 4:30 in the morning. Who in the world gets up at 4:30 in the morning to call in C-SPAN? And I almost forgot the question, and I found out that some very interesting people get up and then call in. So that was nice. Thank you very much. That was nice of you to say that. And I attended the U.S. Conference of Mayors last week in Washington, D.C., a very, very relevant and interesting meeting. It was the leadership meeting, so there was only about a little less than 50 mayors. Met in a cozy environment with cabinet secretaries, and it was interesting. There's a lot of angst and interest and passion out there as it relates to what's going on, and of course with the administration announcing some recent initiatives and with a lot of the political things on the table, it made for some very, very interesting discussions as to how what happens in Washington impacts us. And believe me, there are direct impacts on us. We also had a chance to meet with various administration officials related to light rail, met with the EPA regarding the recent clean air actions in the Phoenix metro area, and met with the Department of Defense. So good trip. It got a lot done. It was hotter in Washington than it was in Phoenix, so that made it miserable. But other than that, it was good. So thank you. Okay, anything else? Mr. Brady, scheduling of meetings.
Thank you, Mayor. And I think we also need a reminder, or just again, we had a great celebration today, too, about awarding of the grant. Do you want to say it? We repeat that maybe one more time? I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, we'll repeat it. This morning, once again, a celebration of a great success. We like to celebrate all successes, but this one was truly worth celebrating. The City of Mesa, in competition for a significant grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and in partnership with the National League of Cities, awarded Mesa as one of 4 cities in the entire country a $3 million grant to really try to address the problem that we have with kids who are graduating from high school or dropping out of high school and are not going on to higher education. It's an issue that we deal with and we take very seriously in this community. Mesa Public Schools, once again, was the top performer in large school districts in the country for graduating students. So we're getting kids out of school, out of high school, at an elevated rate, and then they walk into this big gap, this vacuum, and they're not going on to either junior college, to some advanced certificate program, or to the university, which will increase their knowledge base. And we know that the higher educational level that your citizenry attains, the greater economic development you have, the more earning power you have, the better companies you attract. So for the first time, in a formal way, we've pulled together the resources of the City of Mesa, Mesa Public Schools, Mesa Community College, and those three entities will be working together for the next 3 years to come up with some pretty good ideas as to how to identify these students, these at-risk students, on a more individualistic basis, and then how to get them first to stay in school, but primarily to increase their education. The other three cities that were awarded grants were New York City, San Francisco, and Riverside, California. And as I said, there were 9 finalists, and this was a competition. Throughout the last year, we have been involved in various site visits, and boy, I don't know how many of them. It seems like the Gates and Foundation were sending people in here on a monthly basis to review our preparation and our proposal. And from our side, Shelley Allen was the lead staff, and congratulations to her. And we had good people at both the Mesa Schools and Mesa Community College work together in coming up with this proposal. And it's great to be recognized by an organization such as Gates and the National League of Cities as a performer, because once again, you have 9 communities, all of them working their tails off to get a super proposal out, and we finished as Chris put it this morning, the best of the best, and we went out, and that's a real feather in our cap. So take a moment to celebrate that. And then at lunch, we were talking to Chris and Dr. Sean Pond and Dr. Mike Cowan, head of the schools in the MCC, said, boy, we got it. Oh, now we have to start doing things. Now the hard part starts. But it was great to be able to celebrate that success. Councilman Richens.
Did any other cities in Arizona participate in this?
There was one other city that was among the finalists. Okay, next issue.
Who was that again? I wasn't part of the process.
One of our larger neighbors, let's just put it that way. And not that we were in competition with anyone but ourselves. But it was very gratifying to see that our proposal was rated among the top. So thank you, Councilmember Richens. Okay, anything else? Now, Mr. Brady.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. A reminder to Mayor and Council, this Wednesday, we will have the grand opening of Fire Station 215, which is the airport, the gateway, Mesa Gateway Airport Fire Station. We'll be having that ceremony at 10 a.m. It'll be at 6353 South Cargo Way, so invite everybody to come out to that opening. We have a study session this Thursday, September 30th at 7:30 a.m. We also have on that same day in the afternoon from 2 to 4 at the Mesa Arts Center our Doing Business with the City of Mesa Fair, and so where we invite businesses in Mesa who may be looking to do business with the city, become more informed about opportunities in the future, invite them out to meet with our different departments who are maybe looking for different services, as well as our purchasing department. So we invite those companies to come out this Thursday.
Thank you. And I'd like to commend staff. A couple of years ago, we stated as one of our objectives that we wanted to be loyal. We asked our business to be loyal to us. We said we'd be loyal to them. And this outreach has been very successful in helping local businesses to do business with the city. And I think the level of participation we've had in Mesa-based and Mesa-centered businesses has gone up considerably. And people can't complain that they don't have the opportunity to learn how to do business with the city of Mesa. So that's a great outreach program, and we appreciate that. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the pre-scheduled public opinion appearance. Today we have one request to speak, Mr. John Retzger. Mr. Retzger, if you want to come up here. Mr. Retzger, this segment, we allow you 3 minutes to speak, sir. I'll be keeping time here. You've got another two. And I don't know if you can see it, but I'll let you know when you got a minute left, when you got like 30 seconds left. But to be known, since this is not on the agenda, city members of the city council won't respond, but we're here to listen to you. So thank you very much. Go ahead.
It's a shame that I have to come here tonight. But I see you come here and all you do is pat yourself on the back about these accomplishments, but yet you don't handle the problems that exist in Mesa, namely corruption in the police department and the district attorney's office. And they run it like a dictatorship. And that would liken you, Mr. Mayor, or to Ahmadinejad or Kim Jong-il, because you just cover your eyes and you say everything is fine. You don't do anything about it. And neither does the police department. I have documentation like here, and I would like to meet with a council member at any time at their convenience. The police perjure themselves, and the other one lies to it and swears to it. They make up charges in there here saying that I was a convicted criminal and that the officer testified against me, yet there was no trial and there was no documentation of her testimony. I'd like to know where that is. And I'm sick and tired of it. This is run like a police state. You have Imperial Guards sitting here, and I'm sick and tired of it. I've dealt with this for over a year now, and I've gotten nowhere. I filed complaints with Internal Affairs the first time. Everything was done normally. The second time, apparently everything was done normally, but yet in the police report, and I'd like to quote a line from here. Okay? Mr. Retzger made several other complaints when I spoke to him. Mr. Retzger complained about the situation with his ex-wife. Mr. Retzger complained about the order of protection guidelines, forcing him out of his own home. Mr. Retzger stated he wasn't happy since the police officer never served me. She didn't have the papers with me. Another officer asked her, would you like to go back and get me the papers? And she says, no, it's not necessary. Okay, that same officer testified that she testified against me at a trial in which I was found guilty. Okay, here is the documentation. The charges were dismissed. There was never any trial. I would like somebody to explain to me how I can be found guilty. There's nothing on my record, but yet this officer testified against me. The police department just investigates themselves. There's no oversight. There's no way to go above them. And I think you have major problems. All you do here is sit and pat yourself on the back how well you do. Well, let's see how well you do with problems that exist in your city. And I find it incorrigible that my civil rights were violated by your city. And I am hereby filing a claim of notice against the town of Mesa for $300,000 for violating my civil rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Retzger. Appreciate you coming in and letting us know that. Thank you. Okay. We'll now entertain a motion to move into executive session. Have a motion from the Vice Mayor, and second Council Member Kavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We'll now move into executive session. Thank you.